Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We're live out here at Hermitage Golf Course for the NFL Alumni Charity Golf Tournament, benefiting American Cancer Society, United Way, and several other NFL alumni charities. The Titans have now hit the dead period. It will not hit the practice field until training camp. So joining us now to recap all of his OTAs and minicamp thoughts, Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow. Hut, appreciate you for joining us today, being flexible with us this week. But we went over yesterday kind of a list of some things that we've been talking throughout, you know, through practices in the offseason. What's our concern level? Is it, you know, concerning now? Are we not going to worry about it until training camp? Are we not going to worry about it until the regular season? Or, in fact, are we actually encouraged about it? So we'll throw a couple of things your way. Want to get your concern or encouragement level on the concern-encouragement scale. First and foremost, the right side of the offensive line. Nicholas Petit-Frere has not been out at minicamp or OTAs. I would guess that he's probably the leader in the clubhouse to fill that right tackle position. Your concern level about the right side of the line and Nicholas Petit-Frere.
Okay, my one request is you give me some time to discuss if I'm concerned or excited about your move coming up, okay? That's my one request.
That's allowed. That is absolutely okay. Allowed.
Nicholas Petit-Frere, yes, I'm concerned. Concerned for this reason. We've seen this before from Nicholas Petit-Frere, either because of a dumb gambling policy that they went back and changed a bit and tweaked, or injury related. But I'm concerned just because of the depth. There's still another off season like they had. As long as this is the hypothetical. They did some nice things this off season, and we'll see that come to fruition. Okay, this is the pretense there. They didn't address that spot enough, and they couldn't do everything in one off season. Petit-Frere, though, it's time for him to grab this and go with Bill Callahan as his coach. Dylan Raiden's, if not now, it's not gonna happen. He's running out of time. Petit-Frere has the chance to be the type of player that he was drafted to be, a second round pick, but beyond that, a guy that can be a consistent starter. He doesn't have to be a Pro Bowler. He needs to be adequate at right tackle. He needs to be good. Someone you can trust week in and week out. Right now, it's not that type of player, and some of it no fault of his own. Some of it, yeah, sure, you can say. But, Caroline, Dylan Raiden's behind him, and then some undrafted, and Raiden's could compete at right guard, although I'm not expecting that. I guess I could, but I think the real competition's at right tackle for him. They need to get that solidified. I'm concerned about the two spots on the right side more than I am one individual player. But Petit-Frere is a big conversation piece of why I'm concerned about the right side currently.
And, you know, your expectations there for Petit-Frere, I think, are fair, but I also think it's so indicative of where this offensive line is. Like, the bar's low. Like, just protect the quarterback. Don't need you to be a Pro Bowler. Don't need you to be, you know, anything better than just do your job and keep the quarterback upright.
So the right side of the line is where I would agree with you. The center to left, and the bar has been reset a bit based on what they've done and how they've addressed it. They've put and signed off on Latham being the left tackle. Okay, like that has to work, but that's what they're saying. And then the bar is raised. Expectations are much higher for me because they've got the best offensive line coach in the league. So in one off season, they've made moves up front, but the one spot they didn't was at right. And again, we've seen examples of why it shouldn't work in our mind, mapped out on the right side with the players that we've seen currently on the roster. My expectations are just be average, and that will mean this is a vastly improved offensive line because they're telling us they will be on the left side. I'm really not that concerned about the left side. I don't know if you guys agree with me or not, but from center to left, I haven't really thought about that spot, and that's a great sign for what they've done.
Yeah, Hutton, I don't think I'm too much worried about that left side either. I think that's going to end up being the strength up there of this offensive line. And hopefully the right side can come along. But when you don't know who your right tackle or your right guards are at this point of time, it's going to be hard to do.
You can help. You can help out one side. You don't want to have to chip on both, right? Like that's exactly. The thing. There are ways to hide some deficiencies. You just don't want to be able to be vulnerable on both sides in the pass rush.
Yeah. Now, what do you think? Because we had Jarrett yesterday was discussing the whole Treylon Burks thing and why he believed they are sort of propping Treylon Burks up, only to eventually trade him. I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I'm not going to go that far. I don't think they're trying to drum up some interest in Burks. I think right now there's no interest in Burks. And until he start playing on the field, there's not going to be any interest in Burks unless you just want to flat out give him away to somebody, because he hasn't proven enough to warrant another team coming in and trying to give up a draft pick or something like that.
Yeah, I mean – it's tough to trade players right now and get what you want for players. Like they're propping them up to get a fifth round pick. You know, like I don't know if it's, I would go that far yet. They're talking great because this is the time of year where everybody is just, we feel great about where we are in our off season. We're about to have vacation. They felt good since the combine. And Mace, the Treylon Burks, questions are going to be answered by him. I love players in contract years. He should be viewing this as, this is my year. Forget the fifth year option and all. This is my money year. I'm in an offense that's going to throw the football. I'm the fourth wide receiver. I'm playing special teams, but damn it, I'm pissed off for greatness about it. And we'll find out if that's going to be the case. I mean, some say give him time. Some say we didn't have time. Some say, well, what was observed is one person's opinion, and that's all true. Hey, this is on Burks, man. And I want to see that type of mentality that I think and I know that DeAndre Hopkins would take to the field, or that Calvin Ridley claims he's going to bring to the field. That type of alpha, that if Burks brings that, Mace, he will be much improved, and he will be the version of the wide receiver in my mind that was worthy of a first round pick coming out of Arkansas. That's what I want to see, the mentality, the mental aspect of how he's approaching this, vastly take a jump forward this year. If he does that, things will come together for him.
All right, Hutt, so let's just look and get your general opinion on what you've seen. Anything noteworthy in the offseason from the other three teams in the division as far as anything that you think changes your mind at all going into training camp on where the Titans sit? Because I think when we get into training camp, I'm expecting just about all prognosticators to have the Titans fourth in the division. But the key is – you know, are these other teams gettable for sure?
Man, okay, so let's just run through. Houston is improved. I mean, they have taken what was a deficiency and addressed their offensive front, or excuse me, their defensive front, Willie, to a maximum level. Danielle Hunter.
I think there's no question they will be the consensus number one to win the division, right? I think it would be rare that you find anybody that's not picking them first based on what they did last year. And like you said, in the offseason, they did not stand pat.
I mean, and they bring in Stephon Diggs. You know, like, they're the team. They're the team. They're this offseason version of the Detroit Lions going into the season. Then there's Jacksonville and Tennessee and Indy. And here's the thing. I could put the Titans number two on this list. I could put the Titans fourth, because Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence, they have not grabbed the brass ring. I have not seen.
Yeah. So why do you think? Jacksonville is
good,
not like, I would have said Jacksonville at the end of not this past season, but the season four, where they made a run, blew by the Titans, won a playoff game, played respectably well at Arrowhead. If you fast forward to now, I'm wondering what the heck happened. Why the big regression? Not just in, you know, how they've done, but also why nobody really even think. I thought the arrow should be pointing up. Like, here they go. They've gone through all these trials and tribulations. They've been picking high. They should have a really good roster. But right now they're kind of a blah looking team.
Yeah, and I mean, they're extremely talented. They've had a lot of top picks, as you mentioned. Last year, what happened? They went from, where were they down, 24 or 30 points or something like that to Herbert before they played the Chiefs, came back and won that game. And then played Kansas City on the road. Since then, Trevor Lawrence has been turning the football over. Last year, he's throwing picks. They'll pick up two or three first downs on a drive watching them play, and then they get past midfield, and he throws just what looks like a layup across the middle, but he's fooled into double coverage. Like, there are plays like that when you look at his touchdown interception ratio a year ago and really where they came in games. Not that he threw picks, but when they did that, how they finished out games, that holds me back from saying. But Jacksonville was right there at the end of the year to being AFC South champs, and it took Houston winning on the road at Indy to do it. It's a toss-up behind Houston, and barring a catastrophic injury for the Texans, they should be the pick, the hands-down pick. And only because there's now seven teams in the playoffs would I ever say that the other teams are competing for playoff contention, but they will be. The AFC South wild card will be they'll be mentioned in December when we roll into the Christmas time schedule area, and the Titans should be like the Colts last year in the mix. Because the Colts, while everyone's saying they have a great offseason, they just re-signed a bunch of their players is what they've done. So, and everyone's assuming Anthony Richardson is going to be okay. I'm assuming because of his style of play, he's going to get hurt again. So that helps the Titans in my own mind, too.
The Colts are, to me, a big X factor, because you have a lot of people that theorize that Steichen did a good job with what he had last year, lost Richardson. Yes. But laid the groundwork, and now Richardson will take them to another level. There seems to be a lot of street cred and belief in Steichen from afar. Is that fair to say?
It's more new era offense, but it's still old school. You know, they've got the bigger, stronger quarterback. They have the young guy that they're developing. I think that's good for Richardson, and that's where Steichen can really show his coaching ability. But Willie, like, they're still going through the run game. They've invested money there where other teams are investing in the pass game for sure. Look at the wide receiver numbers, and they've been re-signing their own players, which means they're going to continue down this path as long as the general manager structure is still there. And they're gambling on that. Steichen's also tied to a guy that's been there a while that could, you know, that could be turned over a bit with an owner that's very unpredictable. But on the field, again, good average team, but there are a lot of average teams in a league that's set up to be just that. Jacksonville's there for me again. And, the Titans are improved. Line that about the the ball didn't bounce our way games, what, seven games by 7 points or less or whatever it was. They should be in more games if Will Levis has improved because of the quarterback coach and quarterback friendly head coach now. Same should go for Anthony Richardson, but there's a huge unknown there.
Talking with Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. And I was listening to Charles Robinson on with Robbie and Rex Road this morning, and he talked to Tom Brady. You know, obviously Tom Brady's jersey was retired with the Patriots, and at the jersey retirement ceremony, Charles Robinson kind of sat down with him, talked about the current state of the NFL, the current state of the quarterback position. And Charles Robinson was explaining on Robbie and Rex Road this morning that he asked him, like, do you think that the quarterback position has never been better than it is now? Is it on an upward trajectory? Tom Brady said, no, actually, I think it's the exact opposite. I think it's on a downward trajectory. I think the position has never been worse because the quarterback position is now what the word that Tom Brady used, like in a place of convenience, where you try to find the quarterback that fits the right system right now, more so than drafting and developing the quarterback and taking some time. What do you think about that? What do you make of, obviously, Tom Brady knows the quarterback position than any of us combined, but what do you think of Tom Brady's comments about the quarterback position, and have we gotten to the point with quarterbacks that we're just microwaving them a little bit too quickly and not allowing quarterbacks to develop, and kind of what does that mean for Will Levis and this Titans team?
So let's dive a little bit deeper. This is a great conversation because I think I can tie in what Brady has said over the last 3 years, even going back to a discussion that he had on a Tampa Bay Bucks website podcast or something. I think how he views the quarterback position is this way. The quarterbacks that we view as above average to him are above average because the rules are set up to make them look good. And oddly enough, he says that the rules that favor the quarterbacks are unfair to the defense, that you are no longer punished for throwing a hospital football. What was a pick or what was going to be a sack and you're crushed for staying in the pocket instead of moving your feet properly now is a penalty, so defenses aren't going to do that. What looks like a great pass and catch in whenever he's starting out would not have been that. And you're getting away with so much more at the quarterback spot that you're viewed in the same light, maybe not as Brady, but you're viewed in the same light as a Ben Roethlisberger or a Phillip Rivers. And I think that is his mindset and mentality on this crop of quarterbacks, this era, not necessarily the individuals, but the era of quarterback play that is only going to get more beneficial and more convenient for that position as they continue to tweak rules to make sure scoring goes up and to make sure their stars remain on the field. Brady was very fortunate, and it's a skill to stay as healthy as he did and play as long as he did. But I thought coming from him while he was playing, by the way, he said this while he was playing with Tampa, that he thought the defense was at such a disadvantage because it made his job so much easier.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. Last one from me, Hutt. What do you make of this entire Aaron Rodgers situation? Unexcused absence and mandatory minicamp. And last I heard, he was on vacation. And Diana Russini reported that it was best if he was away from football for now. What do you make of this entire situation with Aaron Rodgers?
I'd say I'm not surprised. I mean, it's
he's getting his name.
No.
I mean, vacation. Okay, hang on. When's the last time this dude took a true? If the four of us describe we're going on vacation, you're not going to say I'm at a darkness retreat or I'm going off to do ayahuasca. And that is his vacation. So is he doing that, or is he actually like in Cabo or Tulum with Tony Vitello? I don't get the sense that that's a vacation.
I would pay to join that vacation. Aaron Rodgers and Tony Vitello in Tulum.
Oh man,
sign me up.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't know what he's missing for. The Jets, I feel like, have handled this entirely the wrong way. Despite Rodgers needing to, it's a mandatory mini camp that lasts 3 days, be there. But the Jets admitting, Saleh admitting that we've known about this, but we don't know what he's doing, and it's not excused. But we've known about this, and he's been great at communicating with us. What does that mean?
But still not excused.
They're not great at communicating with us.
Like, where would that find in the world of the school better note? Like when you get permission slip. Like, yeah. Is that
if Rodgers,
do you have the note or do you not have the note?
Yes. If Rodgers is so great at communicating with you, communicate better with us and the public to let us know exactly what that means. Because if he lets you know and it's not excused, but we don't know what he's doing, then he didn't communicate that well, or you're not communicating that well because you know where he is. Like, it's just bizarre. They've got a deal going where they've got one of their pass rushers, I believe, holding out, not excused. And I feel like they don't want Rodgers to be on vacation and be in communication and say we're going to miss, and then just admitting it and not making a big deal about it. I think it's more optics than anything. And the way I took it is the head coach is
that Aaron Rodgers.
The head coach, the offensive coordinator is on vacation right now, is the way I took it.
I mean, like, color me shocked that chaos ensues wherever Aaron Rodgers goes. I mean, who could have seen that coming?
And he's on the Jets.
And the Jets are going to jet.
The Jets seem to have that disease.
Isn't it?
As well.
Hey,
the Jets are going to jet.
Isn't it? We have. Compare the Jets, like, euphoria, like the craziness, how much we were talking about that roster and that team this time last year. Four snaps. He's out for the year, and we haven't discussed the Jets in the mix as much as we did a year ago. And they brought everyone back and improved. That's what they
did. Yeah,
it's weird how the focus has shifted from the expectation level. Last year it was like he was the Super Bowl or this season's a failure, and now it's like, oh, Rodgers is back healthy and they're on six different night games in the first 8 weeks of the season. Cool. Yeah. It's strange to me.
Jonathan Hutton, the Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutt, thanks for your time today. We appreciate you as always. Of course, we'll catch up soon, my friend.
Yes, thank you, Caroline. Congratulations on everything
thank
happening
you.
For you. You will be missed. And hopefully the guys don't kick me off the show as soon as your final day is complete.
You gone. Yeah. The minute she gone, Hutt, you out of here too, man.
They run a really tight ship here,
we run a tight ship around here, Hutt.
Yeah, so I can make zero promises on William D. Mace's behalf, but I will absolutely miss it here and miss chatting with you every single week. But I'm not going too far.
Yes, I will see you soon for sure.
Absolutely. Jonathan Hutton,
right,
Hutt, appreciate
Hutt.
You.
See ya.
This whole Aaron Rodgers thing is wild. It is.
I feel like everybody's kind of saving it up, but at some point it's going to explode, just all the Jets hype again. It's going to happen. You can't stop it.
Yeah.
You can only hope to contain it, especially with Greenberg leading the morning show there. That's just – it's built in.
Number one Jets fan
yeah.
boy, Mike Greenberg.
And I do think it's an intriguing roster because they clawed and scratched and battled, and the rest of their team does look like it's pretty decent.
Yeah.
And if they get – good quarterback play, not great, but good. I think they could win some games.
They could be a playoff team, absolutely,
so.
Even
yeah.
in a tough division in the AFC East. We'll pivot to hockey coming up next. Some interesting news coming out from the reporter yesterday. What does that mean for the goalie
yeah.
situation?
And with the Stanley Cup final tonight, too, it just came down. Morning skate. Sasha Barkov and Vladimir Tarasenko are good to go. They were the two guys.
Okay.
Barkov, especially after taking that shot from Leon Draisaitl, that he is in tonight, so game three is on. Everybody's at full strength. No suspension or anything for Draisaitl.
That's what I was going to ask, because I didn't want to see a game three or even a remainder of the series without Barkov and Draisaitl. So good to hear that they'll be back in the game tonight. Some new news on the Predators front. What does that mean in the goalie situation? What does that mean really for the construction of this roster this offseason and moving forward into next year? We'll get into that coming up next before we catch up with Elliot Friedman at the top of the hour. Caroline, Willie D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.